Welcome back. This is Chapter 19, Everything as It Should Be. Before supper the next day, the mysterious Benedict Society, hopeful for clues, climbed the hill beyond the gym to take a look around. It was quite a high hill, but if you moved at a quick pace, and Kate always moved at a quick pace, even with Constance riding piggyback, you could follow the winding path to the summit in a matter of minutes. This Kate did, with Rainy and Sticky panting along behind her at some distance. By the time the boys reached the top, she was already surveying the area with her spyglass. Rainy mopped his brow. "See anything?" Kate shrugged. "Grass and rocks, bushes and rocks, vines and rocks, sand and rocks. Lots of rocks," she said, lowering the spyglass. Then, ever so casually, she added, "I also found another trap."
"A trap?" Sticky said, glancing all around, as if the trap might sneak up and grab him.
"Don't worry, it's way down there, in a little grassy area behind the Institute Control Building. You can't see it from anywhere else, but if you aim the spyglass over the roof of the classroom building, you can just see it." She offered the spyglass to Sticky, who declined. He didn't care to see any more traps. Rainy took a look, and sure enough, from this spot, you could just make out the telltale drapeweed and boulders behind the building. Rainy returned the spyglass to her. "I wonder why both traps are right next to a group of boulders."
"Don't you think it's to make them harder to see?" Kate said.
"By moonlight or sunlight, the drapeweed would almost always be in shadow."
"Crafty," said Constance.
"Drapeweed was a perfect choice then," said Sticky. "It's a shade-loving plant."
"Put away the spyglass," Rainy murmured. "We have company." Two helpers had appeared on the path below them, each lugging two buckets full of gardening tools. They were making their slow way up the hill, clearing weeds and debris from the paths. As they drew near, they moved wordlessly to the edge of the path, so as not to disturb the children.
"Good afternoon," Rainy said, forgetting that he usually avoided greeting helpers. He was nervous about the spyglass and had wanted to seem casual.
The helpers, a man and a woman, glanced at Rainy with fearful suspicion. To ease their worries, he smiled good-naturedly and gave a little wave, then immediately regretted it. The helpers, feeling compelled to reciprocate, stopped walking and set down their buckets so they could wave back.
"Nice buckets," Kate said.
"Thank you, miss. They do the job,"
said one of the helpers, a short, rotund man who looked rather like a bullfrog and sounded even more like one. At the sound of his voice, Rainy started. He knew this man. He took a step closer and peered at the man's face. The helper took a step backward and averted his eyes.
"Mr. Bloomberg?" Rainy said.
"I almost didn't recognize you." Greatly discomfited, the helper turned to his partner, a wisp of a woman who seemed to be trying to hide behind her hair.
"Is he speaking to you?"
"Have you gone mad?" the woman hissed, first rolling her eyes at her partner, then flashing a miserable, conciliatory smile at the children. She made an effort to speak calmly.
"He said mister, didn't you, young man? Anyway, my name's not Bloomberg." "Well, neither is mine," said the man.
And looking at the ground near Rainy's feet, he said,
"Please don't take offense, but my name is Harry Harrison."
"You aren't Mr. Bloomberg?"
"I don't mean to be contrary," said Harry Harrison.
The other helper signaled her vigorous agreement.
"And I hope you won't be displeased, but no."
The other children were staring at Rainy, who seemed dreadfully confused.
But, how long have you worked here?"
The helper glanced at his partner.
"A long time, wouldn't you say, Mary?"
"I know I've been here a long time," the woman said, looking at the ground. "And you've been here for most of that, so yes."
"I hope that's okay," said Harry.
"But how long exactly?" Rainy pressed.
"I'm sorry," Harry said,
and he did indeed seem very sorry.
"I don't believe I remember the exact date. Do you, Mary?"
"The exact date? No, but certainly a long time."
Rainey put his hands on his head.
You've never visited Stonetown Orphanage?
You seem agitated, said Mary in a worried tone. I'm sorry if we upset you. Aren't we sorry, Harry?
Very sorry indeed, said Harry miserably. We didn't mean to bother you.
You haven't upset me, said Rainey, sounding very upset. But you are not troubled that you can't remember exactly when you came here?
At this, both helpers shook their heads and said, Everything is just as it should be.
The children's eyes widened, but the helpers seemed unaware of the oddity of their response. They were only waiting to be dismissed, hoping the children would not abuse them or get them in trouble.
I'm glad to hear that, Rainey said at last. He seemed finally to be recovering. He even managed to chuckle and say, I'm sorry, I'm really a dunce.
You just look so much like him, this person I used to know. Obviously, I've made a mistake. Nice talking to you, though.
The helpers were relieved.
Oh, indeed, very nice.
A great pleasure,
they said, taking up their buckets and hurrying down the other side of the hill.
Okay, what was that all about? Asked Kate when they were out of earshot.
Rainey's brows were knitted with concentration. That was Mr. Bloomberg, no doubt about it. His face, his shape, that froggy voice, there's no question it was him. And yet he pretended not to know me, pretended not to be himself. Now why would he do that?
Maybe he's a secret agent, Constance said. You know, like Milligan was. And you were blowing his cover.
Mr. Bloomberg? Rainey said. I doubt it.
He did kind of remind me of Milligan, though, Sticky said. Did anyone else notice how sad he seemed? How sad they both seemed. In their eyes, I mean. I'd never gotten a good look at a helper's eyes before. They're always looking away. But with these two, I could plainly see it.
That's true, Kate reflected. I don't think I've ever seen anyone so sad as Milligan. But these two came awfully close.
Rainey, do you think... Rainey, what's wrong?
The color had drained from Rainey's face. He stood staring off into the distance at nothing in particular. And indeed, he looked as if nothingness were exactly what he wished to see.
Are you okay? Sticky said.
Rainey didn't answer. He had finally come to understand something that would have seemed obvious had it not seemed impossible. Milligan, the missing agents, Mr. Bloomberg, they had all had their memories stolen.
Once this had occurred to him, a great many puzzle pieces suddenly fit together. When Milligan was captured, he thought Mr. Curtin discovered his amnesia, when in fact Mr. Curtin had caused it. That was why Mr. Curtin got so angry when Milligan said his memory was fine. Mr. Curtin had wanted to steal his memory, or wipe it away, or whatever it was that might be done to memories, and then retrain him as a helper, just like the other agents. Mr. Curtin had transformed all those meddlesome people into his own private workforce, and they didn't even realize it. The helpers had been programmed to believe that everything is as it should be. But you could see it in their eyes, their lost lives, their lost families. Something inside them missed those things terribly.
Rainey, you're worrying us, said Kate.
What's the matter? Rainey!
At last, Rainey's eyes focused, and he turned to his friends and told them what he had just realized.
Kate, Sticky, and Constance stood dumbfounded, struggling, just as Rainey had, to accept that such a thing was possible. And yet, once you believed it was possible, so many things could be explained. It finally made sense how the special recruits, if they'd been kidnapped, could seem so untroubled. They had been kidnapped, all right. They just didn't remember it. And Charlie Peters, he had seemed so dazed, just like the special recruits on their first day. And then so disturbed when the boys asked him about special privileges. I can't say, he told them. He was disturbed because he really couldn't say. He couldn't remember. This is crazy, but it all seems to fit, Kate said, pacing on the path. Except, why aren't the special recruits as sad as the helpers? They seem pretty happy to be here.
Charlie didn't seem that sad either, Sticky reflected. He got upset, but he wasn't really sad. It must be different with lacunar amnesia. Maybe...
Wait a minute, Constance demanded. Back up and say that again in human words.
Lacunar amnesia. It means you can't remember a specific event.
That explains it, Rainey said. You only get sad if you can't remember all the things that are dear to you. If you only lose a little of your memory, you just get confused for a while. Confused, but not sad.
That's exactly how I feel right now, said Kate. Who is Mr. Bloomberg, Rainey? Why is he here?
He was a school facilities inspector. He came around the orphanage every 6 months or so. Mr. Rutger was afraid of him, afraid he'd find something wrong and the orphanage would have to pay for repairs. But Mr. Bloomberg was a good man, always laughing, always talking. He chatted constantly with anyone who would listen. And afterward, he'd give the kids ginger snaps. A very friendly, very kind man. Rainey trailed off. He gazed across the harbor channel toward the mainland, as if by gazing he might somehow get back there. And not just to the land, but to a time when he didn't know all the things he knew now.
What was he talking about all the time? Kate asked.
His children, Rainey said. Oh, said Kate soberly. He loved them dearly, said Rainey. And now, look at him, afraid of every child he sees. It's not even a year since I saw him last. Kate was putting it together. So Mr. Bloomberg came to the Institute to make an inspection, which was never supposed to happen, and he didn't like what he found, and Mr. Curtin made sure that he never went back, Rainey finished.
But how could Mr. Bloomberg forget his children? Sticky protested. It doesn't seem possible. Can it really be possible? Can any of this be possible?
Rainey made no reply.
I just can't believe it, Sticky said, wishing he really couldn't.